Ooh, welcome. Step right in. Take a look around. I promise that no matter who you are, we've got something here for you. Think of any creature, any companion, any friend. We've got it. It's our business to provide to you, our valued customer, anything that you could possibly think of. Anything at all. So, think real hard, because we've got all that and more here at Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop.
Griffin Caldine, I am Thringkra D from the planet Fliptonia 12. You are the only hope the galaxy has.
Me?
Yes, you. It has been foretold in the stars, you see.
Oh, that's what all those stars mean. You know, I always thought there was like something going on there.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening out there.
Sick.
It's pretty wild.
Awesome. So, like, what's the next step? Do I need to sign something, or...
You need to start working on your vertical, because the way that you're going to save the galaxy is in a massive, totally rad dunk-off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like basketball? You guys have...
Like basketball.
You guys have basketball?
Yeah, all throughout the galaxy.
Whoa.
Haven't you seen Space Jam?
Oh, I always thought that was a work of fiction.
No, that's a universally known film.
Dang. Well, cheers,
yeah,
Michael
it is
Jackson.
A work of fiction, but yeah. We're all aware of
oh.
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, and so yeah. And so Space Jam sort of
yeah.
Everyone
Space
picked
Jam
up.
Has, it's
basketball.
It's really permeated the universal yeah. zeitgeist. Yes.
So, like, you all know about like Michael. Wow.
Oh, yes,
said,
Michael Jordan.
I almost said Michael Jackson. I mean, do you guys know about Michael Jackson?
Yeah, well, we know about Michael Jackson, nice. The king of pop. Please.
Yeah, he's the king. Yeah, for sure. Got it. So I'll go get like I guess like a gym membership or like
oh yeah,
put like springs in my shoes.
Start working. Start doing some squats
mm-hmm.
and just work on that progress. Getting to the rim. Just start by touching the rim.
Touching
That's
the
all
rim.
We're asking.
Touching the rim, and then
you've
like,
got a little bit of time,
yeah, what's the,
but
what's,
not a lot.
What's like so, the timeline on this?
Oh goodness, I know we have Space Jam, but. Time is sort of perceived
yeah.
a little differently
measured
throughout
differently.
The, so for us would be 12 years. So for you, I believe that's 6 Earth days.
Ooh.
So get to
I
work.
I might need to cheat. Is cheating okay when the sake of the universe is on the line? Like,
if no one finds out, buddy.
Hey, you can hang.
All right. I do my best.
Okay. So like,
hey Griffin, what's going
hi
on?
Hi Zach, don't mind the steroids.
What?
I need to play a basketball game on Fliptonia 12 to save the universe.
Sick.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey everybody, welcome back to an episode of Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop. My name's Zach.
And my name is Griffin.
Hey, yeah. It's been probably around 2 weeks since you've heard us in your ear hole, so now we're back to do another one.
Good Lord.
What? I wasn't here. Did you do an intro with? I'm assuming you did an intro without me. I just walked in and you had a rubber band in your mouth,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was wrapped around your arm, and you were about to inject yourself with. You said steroids.
No.
Yeah?
No. The
right.
show is starting now.
Gotcha. Starting now. So we're gonna do some stuff out of Kobold Press's Tome of Beasts 1.
Yeah, back to the first you old know, Tome of Beasts.
We've been plucking things from here for years now. And I'm surprised that honestly there's still stuff in there.
Yeah.
That we haven't used.
Zach,
so you know what?
Does it freak your bean that we've been doing this show for years? Like, truly years?
I try not to think about it, because when I think about how long I've been doing a thing, it reminds me how old I am.
Oh,
now.
For sure.
And yeah. I hit 30 and immediately my back started hurting all the time, and I got my first eye floater. Mm. So, you know, I'm not... The effects of being over 30 hit immediately for me.
See, like, I think I'm doing okay.
I am envious.
Like, sure, there's, I think the things that are wrong with me are the things that have always been wrong with me.
Yeah.
I don't think 30 did me any more particularly dirty than like 25 did, you know?
Dude, I felt like I was, you know, pretty spry, and then all of a sudden my back started hurting all the time. It was like, okay.
You do have a fairly, a relatively strenuous job, I feel like.
I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, fair is fair.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's just, you know, I can't move like I want to anymore. Anywho, monsters.
Monsters.
So, monsters. First, we got the glass gator.
This ought to be good.
This thing's, it looks bad. Yeah. I gotta say, right off the bat, it looks bad.
Gator is a bit of a stretch.
The only thing gator-like is maybe its head.
Yeah. And, like, the general shape of its body, but even then, that kind of goes off the rails. Yeah,
But then it kind of turns into this big sort of centipede kind of body.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends in, like, a scorpion stinger.
Mm-hmm.
And also the whole thing is, like, semi-transparent.
Yeah, you can see it's, like...
See, like, its esophagus to its stomach.
To its tummy, yeah. And it's got it's weird little... Yeah, they're not leg. They're not small spikies. Like a centipede, but like yeah, the weird like insecty leggy spikes.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty bad, I gotta say.
Pretty bad.
So called by some watermen because of its method of hunting, the glass gator is a nearly transparent ambush hunter. It usually strikes from a bed of water, either stagnant or flowing. The transparency of the creature combined with its jet of silt and poisonous sting make it an effective hunter.
Huh.
Jets of silt sounds horrible.
You know, probably like, probably could like shoot like an aqua jet, like a super soaker at you.
Yeah.
Perhaps from its gob.
Just, it gleeks at you.
Pressurized. It's been a while since gleek.
Yeah, it's been a while since we used the word gleek on this show.
I was hanging out with Ellie last night, and I just so happened to gleek in the middle of conversation, and I went,
nice.
"Ah, gleeked," and she was like, "I know what that is now, thanks to you and Zach," and I was like, "Yes,
yeah."
She had just listened to that episode.
Yeah, Zach and Griffin teaching the world what gleeking is since
vocab lessons are not uncommon on this show.
Yeah, we learn new words all the time. Well, so this thing's got some strange anatomy right off the bat.
It sure does.
It says it on the tin. The body of a glass gator is most similar to a centipede.
Hey!
But with four oversized forelimbs and a more distinct head.
Uh-huh.
The forelimbs are used to attack, but they tire easily, forcing the glass gator to use its powerful lunge attack sparingly.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is it lunge? Is the lunge attack a recharge then?
I don't know.
No. Oh, that's lame. Don't put that in there and then.
Guys, I can't scratch anymore. My forelimbs are tired.
I'm so tired.
Get
guys.
Closer so I can lunge.
It's like you watched Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny with me once. Yeah, when fucking
come over here.
Get
so
over
I can
here.
Stab you.
I'm going to fucking stab
no,
you.
Dude.
No, dude. We're not coming over there. Fine, I'll come over there.
Slowly limps over.
He's totally slow.
Let's bail.
Once the glass gator gets hold of a prey, it wraps its body around the victim and squeezes like a constrictor snake. Unlike a serpent, however, which uses powerful muscles to crush and suffocate its prey, the glass gator is only trying to bring its underbelly into contact with the prey. Why? The glass gator's belly is lined with hundreds of stingers that deliver a virulent nerve toxin.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
Yowza.
Damn. Transparency. The glass gator's transparency isn't total. Its digestive tract usually is visible, especially for a few hours after it eats. The creature sometimes uses this limited visibility as a bait, making itself appear as a wriggling snake or eel.
That's funny.
Oh, it is most vulnerable just after eating when it's lethargic.
Yo, me too.
Apparently this thing just gets tie-tie really
don't
easy.
You need to do that after you have a big meal? You're like, I gotta go lay down for like at least a solid 20.
I gotta... Nicole and I were at one of her grandmother's house last night. Yeah. She was like, she prefaced the journey with going, "Bring your PJs because we're drinking." and we drank a lot, but she made two different types of just incredible pasta.
Oh my God.
Like made some fucking killer like chicken Alfredo and some really good shrimp scampi.
Ooh.
And she was like, "Eat, eat, eat, eat." And so all of us are like, "Oh my God." And I think I know how this glass gator feels.
100%. Bring your PJs. We're drinking.
Bring it. Yeah, we're drinking. And oh my goodness, we did. If encountered in its lair shortly after a meal, the DM may give the glass gator a disadvantage on initiative.
Because it's eepy.
It's just sitting there like, oh my God, no. Guys, we ate so much.
Give me like a minute.
Can we just, guys, come on.
Can we
larval just? Form, uh-oh. Subterranean variants, including some with bioluminescence, have been reported in caverns. It's been postulated that the glass gator may be the larval form of a larger creature. Oh. But what that larger creature might be is unknown.
Dire glass gator.
Oh, like that.
Glass shark.
You know, I gotta say, you know, the image has this big scorpion tail on there and it doesn't once say anything about the scorpion tail.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. But this is a large beast on a line, 15 armor class, 45 hit points, 30 foot walk, 50 foot swim.
Oof,
real fast in that deer water. Its highest stats only strength at a 15. So, you know, not too strong. Let's go with perception and stealth. Blind sight at the 30 feet. That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Amphibious, obviously. Gator can breathe air and water. This is that lunge. When the glass gator leaps at least 10 feet toward a creature. I'm just impressed it can leap 10 feet, honestly. Towards a creature and hits that creature with a claw attack at the same turn, it can immediately constrict the target as a bonus.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, it's got the transparency. The glass gator has advantage on stealth checks while underwater and in dim light.
Okay.
And it's got, that standing leap. It can long jump up to 15 feet from water or up to 10 feet on land.
Okay.
It gets a little swimming start.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kind of dolphin launches. But it can do that with or without a running start.
You just, not to detract too much from this, but you just evoked a very specific memory in me. Do you remember that Flash game Dolphin Olympics?
Yes.
Where you, like, go to space?
Yeah.
Yeah. You said Dolphin Launch, and my brain immediately just flashbacked on Dolphin Olympics.
I want to see, is that still a thing?
Oh, my God.
Probably not, because Flash isn't a thing anymore.
Stop the podcast.
Dolphin Olympics 2.
Dolphin Olympics 2. Oh, my God. It's happening. Oh, it needs Action Script 3. Yeah, rip Flash. I'm sure there's a way.
Play game, Dolphin Olympics. Oh, shit.
You playing right now?
I think I might be playing. New game.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm trying to remember how to play this fucking game.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, yeah, Dolphin Olympics. Let's go. Oh, yeah, I'm airborne.
This is the rest of the episode. Zach and I playing Dolphin Olympics.
Oh, God, this game is so good.
And, like, the little speed circles and whatnot. You can do cool flips and shit. And you, like, eventually, like, go to, like, the moon, and you can just, like, keep getting sick verticals.
Oh, I gulped a... Griff, I just gulped a fish.
Good job, bud.
I straight gulped it.
Now, imagine if this dolphin was made of glass.
Oh, nice. All right, we gotta stop playing Dolphin Olympics.
Yeah, we are. Otherwise, we are going to play for the rest of the episode.
And we would play for the rest of the episode. Yeah. That was incredible, I have to say.
I'm leaving all that contact, in.
That's fine. I think it was entertaining enough. But yeah, claw attack is plus 4 to hit. It's 2d4 plus 2 slashing damage, and the target is grappled. Escapes a DC 12. Until this grapple ends, the target is restrained, and the glass gator can't attack a different target.
Okay.
And then it's got its constrict. One creature that's already grappled by the glass gator takes 2d4 plus 2 bludgeoning damage, plus 2d6 poison damage, or half as much, if they succeed a DC 11 con save.
Oof.
But then as a reaction, it can do a silt cloud, which recharges after a short or long rest. After taking damage while in water, the glass gator thrashes to stir up the 10-foot radius cloud of silt around itself. Okay, so it's just like bringing the muddy bed of the river up. Okay.
Sounds like it.
The area inside the sphere is heavily obscured for 1 minute in still water, or 5 rounds in a strong current.
Okay.
After stirring up the silt, the glass skater can move its speed.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool. It can, like, it can kick it up, it can blind everybody, and then it can...
And then get the fuck
get
out of
the
there.
Get the fuck out of there.
Get the fuck out of there, yeah.
Nice. I like that.
I gotta say, I could see the glass skater being just, like, a monster in, like, a movie.
Oh, for sure.
Anaconda style, for sure. Like... Yeah, you know, there's some guy, you know, who's like, yeah, you've been trouncing about in my swamp, yeah. You got to watch out for the glass gator. And everyone's like, the glass gator, there's no, I'm a businessman, I know, there's no such thing.
There's no such thing as glass gators. Gators aren't made of glass.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, he, like, stomps off on his own, and, like, the guy comes after him. You really should get back here! And he's like, look, I went to Yale. I know. And then that tail, like, spears it through the chest, yep. And it's like, and everyone's like, what?
And then he gets glass gatored.
And then he gets glass gatored.
And that's the name of the movie.
Yeah, glass gator. Or get glass gatored.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the movie title?
It's got to be a pun. Upon further thought, it's got to be a pun based on, like...
It's called Later Gator.
That's pretty good. I was thinking of something like Your Glass or something like that. You know,
that's pretty
like
good.
Like, it's
too.
A pun off a ass.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Glass Kicker. No. Glass Liquor. Eat Glass.
Eat my whole glass. But yeah,
I, for one, like Glass Gator.
Glass Gator's pretty cool, I gotta say.
Certainly kind of defaults to monster status, but I think there's some real heart in there.
Yeah, but it's not a monstrosity, it's a beast.
Yeah.
Which honestly I find very surprising.
Yeah.
But
Glass Gator is naturally occurring, which is a little alarming.
It's a little alarming, yeah.
I think the main hazard in owning Glass Gator as a pet is that it might be the larval form of some larger unknown creature. And so we just don't know the life expectancy of these types of creatures. We don't know, you know, how long it might be a viable pet. We don't know how, like size, how they scale up. Because, like, you know, when you get a small dog... know it's like, oh, there's some St. Bernard in there. It's going to become a big dog.
Oh, it's going to be pretty big.
We don't know how big Glass Gator get.
We have no clue.
We don't know a damn thing about him. Glass Gator could grow up into, like, Glass Whale, for all we know.
One day it's like chomp chomp, and the next day it's like...
With his glass krill.
It's
exclusively glass krill, yeah.
Yeah, it gives up being carnivore. Well, yeah, hungry for anything, and it's just like, no, just give me some krill. I've really grown up. My palate has been...
Yeah, it's refined.
You know, it's refined.
I'm really watching my
glass
gluten intake.
Yes. Glass
gator. Glass gator. On the surface, good pet, but has some long-term viability questions.
Hey, on the surface, good pet, but below
nice.
It?
Nice.
Where bad pet.
Nice.
It'll get you.
Glass Gator always wins in the end.
Glass Gator, it'll get you.
Can you imagine if we had come up with, like, taglines for every creature we've ever done?
Oh, for every creature.
Yeah. Jesus.
So moving forward, that's the vibe now, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
At least the rest of this episode, they've got everyone's got to have a catchphrase.
All right, for sure.
Yeah, tagline for everything in this episode. Let's go.
All right,
what we got next?
Up next, we have the Strix. Strix? A Strix? Several Strix?
Strixies.
A Strix is a little, looks like an owl. It's like a bird. And Zach, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. It's got a big old mean nasty face.
It does have a big mean nasty face.
It is primarily defined, I think, by its big old mean nasty face.
That's kind of, I think, what makes it.
Yeah. Strix are the result of the Moonlit King's mad experiments deep within the plane of shadows.
God damn it! Stop fucking around with shit, everybody!
And it's an owl, too.
Then we get these fuckers.
What's up with owls, too? Like,
I don't know. They mix well.
Yeah. Not quite as well as bears. Owls and bears? That was determined, but...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fucking
They
hell.
Resemble owls and can pass as normal birds as long as they don't speak or open their mouths. The Strix have a larger mouth hidden behind their beaks, filled with gleaming human teeth. Strix range in color from pale gray to sooty black with gleaming eyes. The Strix are unnatural beings that came about through the terrible manipulation of normal owls and kidnapped humans. Ooh. The Moonlit King.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think the Moonlit King, there's a stat block for him in this book.
Okay.
I think he's one of the Fae Lords.
It says here the Moonlit King of the Shadow Fae, so that checks out.
Yeah, if you were scrolling through, he's like in like a fancy outfit.
Yeah,
like
the like powder blue like outfit, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the Moonlit King.
He's wearing a little fancy boy outfit.
Well, hey, Moonlit King, I just want to say something to you. With all this shit,
there's something fucking wrong with you. God.
I hate it.
The Moonlit King, banished and imprisoned in his tower, is desperate to touch the outside world. His crazed experiments blended shreds of mortal souls into shadowy owls and thus brought the Strix into being. They are known as the Shadow's Eyes. The truth of the Strix is all but unknown outside of the Moonlit King's inner circle, where these creatures serve as the King's eyes and ears. Strix thrive in the plane of shadow and on the material plane equally, and they enjoy attaching themselves to powerful beings as spies, servants, and translators. Their purposes are muddied, however, because they constantly relay what they learn to their mad creator. They are tiny monstrosities, neutral alignments, 13 armor class, 10 hit points, a 10-foot walk speed, and a 60-foot fly speed. They're small, so their strength is pretty low. Their intelligence and charisma are low. But they've got a +3 to their dexterity at a 17, and a +2 to their wisdom at a 15. Proficient in perception and stealth, they have 120-foot dark vision. They speak common and elvish. Until the Strix speaks or opens its mouth, it is indistinguishable from a normal owl. It has that flyby trait that we love so much. It can 3 times per day cast Comprehend Languages. I guess that's its serving its function as a translator?
I guess so.
Keen hearing and sight, so they have advantage on wisdom perception checks relying on hearing or sight. And they have just a singular... Talon attack, which only does 1 point of damage.
Yeah.
+5 to hit, for whatever that's worth. But they can serve as familiars, if your GM is cool enough to allow for that. Yeah. It says here, they make excellent spies and delight in serving others. The strange owls often become outstanding spies and translators by bonding themselves to a master. Some spellcasters seek out the Strix and strike a bargain to gain these creatures' service as a familiar. While most Strix make a show of hard bargaining, secretly they are eager to strike the deal.
Oh, yeah, I can't fucking wait, dude.
It's like, I'm not really looking for work right now, though. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to shop. I'm trying to wait for the right, like, right opportunity. Yeah. Like, I really hope it's this one, but, like, I'm just kind of like, you know, could be.
Take me home, I love you.
When they form that familiar bond, you know, you get that telepathic connection. You can use that through senses. Additionally, as long as the Strix is within 10 feet of its master, the master can benefit from its Comprehend Languages innate spell. It says here as well, the Strix is a normal, if odd, living creature. However, not a magically summoned celestial fae or fiend, so it has significant limitations as a familiar. It can't be dismissed to a pocket dimension or magically summoned only when wanted. The Strix can't deliver touch range spells, and when it is more than 100 feet away from its master, the two can't communicate except by prearranged signals, for example, a hand wave or a whistle. It rolls its own initiative, but if the Strix is killed, it's dead, and that's that.
And that's that. I'm seeing like a moment here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You're walking through the woods.
Okay.
Up up above you, you hear woo, woo. You look up and you see, you know, a nice like barn owl that's just chilling.
Yeah,
you see it from the back end. You know, its head slightly turned. You go, oh, look at that majestic owl.
Look at that majestic
owl.
And then
its head turns just a little more, and just under its beak, you see a cigarette poking out.
Oh.
And then a couple of, you know, its wing comes up and a couple of its feathers grab it, and you watch as its neck opens up into a human mouth that goes, hey, what the fuck you want, bud?
Oh, hey.
And then you're like, I'm out of here.
I didn't know this was your house.
Yeah, it's the woods. It's everyone's fucking house.
I'm just trying to get through the road here, man.
Well, proceed. Don't fucking gawking.
Puts just head down, hand over eyes.
That's fucking right,
okay.
Bud.
Hey, you looking for work?
Nah. What kind of work are we talking about? Maybe I got a buddy. A buddy you'd be interested in.
Yeah, he sounds just like me and smokes the same brand of cigarettes.
Yeah, red stripes all day.
Not red stripes. Listen, I only know two brands of cigarettes, and that is the brand that my dad would smoke and the brand that our old boss from the Cookie Mines would occasionally ask us to go buy.
Yeah. What brand did your dad smoke?
Basic Lights. The number of times I heard as a child growing up the phrase pack of basic lights and not only fully understanding what that means, but it means my dad got a little box of death sticks.
Yeah. There's a guy in the union named Joey. And no one says his last name. He's only Joey Newport because he smokes Newport. So Dave says, hey, Joey Newport.
That's such a good first name to be like having a comical last name assigned to. Yeah. It's maybe the best one.
His last name's very good, and it makes him sound like he'd be like the guy in a mob, like the mob, like, oh, you're going to go see Joey, insert his last name here, which I'll tell you after.
Can you, I'll just cut around it right here.
Oh, his name is Joey.
We are experiencing some technical difficulties. We will be right back.
Man, listeners, I wish you could have heard that. That was great.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Damn,
it's pretty
you don't
good.
Want to mess with Joey Newport.
But hey, Joey Newport, you're the best.
Oh, God. Strix are,
they're pretty bad, Griff. They're pretty bad.
They're bad to look at, but I think they're honestly good pets. For the right kind of person, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Not for, like, the you and me types.
And if you're fine with the Moonlit King always seeing everything that happens around you.
Like, Strix would be great in, like, as, like, with, like, ambassadors or, like, like, embassies.
A very unsettling ambassador, but yeah.
Most definitely, yes.
Well, it'd be like, you know, like, you expect, like, you have this, like, regal, like, magical owl to come down, and you expect, like, you hear in your mind's eye, like, hello, one and all. But instead you, hey, how the fuck is it going, everybody?
Instead you get fucking Sammy Strix, and it's just like...
Yeah. It's like, that's right, my cousin Paulie told me to come down here.
Takes a drag off a cigarette. Let's get this fucking meeting over with. I gotta pick up in 20 minutes.
All right, so what's the tagline for Strix?
Oh, shit. Strix. Strix are not for kids.
Hey, that's pretty funny. I was going to say Strix. Say it ain't so.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that a
Strix,
lot.
Strix, put a smile on your face.
Strix, smoke Newport.
Smoke Newport.
Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop does not condone tobacco usage.
Yeah, cigarettes are bad. Don't do it.
They make you look cooler. This is truth.
They really do.
But
they really do.
You will get lung cancer.
They're bad. They're really bad.
Anyway.
Just don't. Promise?
Promise. Promise me.
Okay.
I need you to say, wherever you're listening right now, I need you to say to me, Zach and Griffin, I promise to not smoke cigarettes.
Do it.
Do it.
If you want to listen to the rest of the episode,
you have
to
do it.
We'll
it's audio gated.
We'll know if you don't.
Yeah. We're listening.
We're always listening.
Oh my God.
Like the Moonlit King, we're always
with our Strix. That owl up there you see on the telephone pole, that's our Strix, and he's watching you.
Yeah. And he's relaying everything. He's like, yeah, they're fucking smoking. They fucking lied
to me,
bud.
Damn it.
God damn it.
Ugh, Jesus.
Boopus, why are you smoking, bud? The Strix told us.
Jesse, hit the ad, please.
Still using ordinary pet litter? Why bother when you could be using Litter-A-Line? Litter-A-Line is the premier pet litter for all your magical, monstrous, and otherwise magnificent pets. We at Litter-A-Line not only bring harmony between scent and user, we bring alignment between pet and owner to a whole new level. Talk about chaotic good. Trying not to disrupt the workplace with your office imp? Try Lawful Neutral Printer Parchment. Adjusting to changes with your lycanthropy? Try Chaotic Good Musty Tavern. Your Yeti looking for some Christmas in July? They're sure to love neutral good mulled wine. Just don't give a fuck. We've got Chaotic Evil Renaissance Fair Porta Potty just for you sickos. In addition, all purchases of Litter-A-Line come with a pack of our new waste bags of holding, so the next time your blink dog drops a deuce on a walk, you can whisk that waste away to its own scent-neutral pocket dimension. Call 1-800-PET-SHOP to order now and start realigning the way your pet does business. Litter-A-Line, a scent for all kinds.
I gotta say, I'm disappointed with the amount of reports that we got that people are still smoking.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it's really saddening.
It was really...
And they'll never hear this part of the episode because they're not allowed to.
No. I was really like... I really thought we had a bit more clout, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. That we'd be able to stop smoking.
Yeah. I thought this could have been our thing this year, you know?
Yeah. Zach and Griffin v. Big Tobacco. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Would have been a story for the ages.
Zach and Griffin's multiversal disappointment in you.
Oh my god. That's really good. Fucking hell. All right. So what we've got up here, this is the Lindwurm.
Lindwurm.
Or if you're German, the Lindwurm.
I was gonna also say Lindwurm.
Yeah, there's at work we have this giant it's the U.S. Constitution. It's printed to go on this big wall. And apparently the only place that could print it was this place in Germany. And so the whole time I've been sitting there doing this bit of like, Johann, I told you, you said that it would be stupid to invest in this giant-sized printer. But look, it's worked out. We've printed the U.S. Constitution big size.
Oh, my God. We had a time like last year at the Institute where... I guess for an exhibit that was being loaded in, like part of the load team were, they were Germans and they had been given apparently clearance by someone in security to use one of the radio channels that we regularly use for like check-in people.
Yeah.
And so like we're outside getting like buses unloaded and we keep hearing German come over the radio and we're like, what the fuck is going on? And my boss grabs the radio and goes, who is on the group's channel? And we just hear back in the German accents, wir on the group's channel. Like, that doesn't answer my question. But they were really,
some jolly Germans.
It was
right
very
there.
Fucking funny. Look, anyway.
Anyone I've met from Germany has been a trip. Via on the group's channel.
It's like, elaborate.
Silly question. Of course it is us. Who else would be here? All right, so the Lindwurm. This looks like, I mean, another gator-esque thing that I'm talking about. Looking at it, like,
yeah.
I picked two gator-ass things today, didn't
well,
I?
Well, the first gator was only slightly gator.
Yeah, this one is, I mean, it's, you know, got legs, very sneaky, but it's got a real sneaky, like, long body, but then it's got you know, arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And it, it's got like these cool, like little spiny guys.
Yeah, those like dragon spines. Going down, like,
yeah. It technically is a large dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's neutral evil.
Oh.
So let's see. Coiling like a living corkscrew, moving with a scraping hiss. A lindworm serpentine form skates nimbly across ice on long curving claws. Maw agape and stinking of 100 graves.
Ew.
Uh-oh. What have I done? Swift and smooth as ice. Ooh.
Ooh.
Smooth as ice.
I think we found the tagline already.
Yeah, smooth as ice, baby. Lindworms have long bodies and crocodilian jaws, but they skitter over land on spindly limbs. Their talons are long and curved, acting as skates or short skis when moving over ice.
Sorry.
They skate on their claws.
Oh my god.
Few things are swifter on ice.
Holy shit.
Apparently, they are sea hunters. In the wild, lindworms hunt in groups, looking for breaching whales, seals, and incautious fishermen. They employ wolf pack tactics and enjoy surprising foes. With their considerable cunning, they may skate by their prey at speed, snapping a bite as they pass, or snatching them up with their constricting tails.
These fucking, like, drive-by skiers.
Yeah. I love
what
that.
What the shit?
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, large dragon, neutral evil, 15 armor class, 136 hit points, 40-foot walking speed, 20-foot swim speed. Its dex is maxed out at a 20.
Yeah. Strength at an 18.
Its strength is an 18. Dang.
These things are stacked.
It's really good on strength, dex, and con saves. Good with acrobatics, athletics, perception, and stealth. Vulnerable to fire, immune to cold, immune to paralyzed, prone, and unconscious.
Hmm.
It's got a 60-foot dark vision, 120-foot tremor sense on ice.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's got something called lindworm fever.
Ooh, baby. I got lindworm fever.
A creature infected with this disease by lindworm's bite gains one level of exhaustion an hour after being infected. The creature must make a DC 14 con save. After each long rest, on a failure, the creature gains one level of exhaustion and recovers no hit dice from the long rest.
Oh.
On a success, the creature recovers from one level of exhaustion and regains hit points normally. If the infected creature reduces itself to zero exhaustion by making successful saving throws, the disease is cured.
I like the way that handles, like,
I like that too.
Progression or recovery of diseases.
Yeah. I think so too. I like that.
That's very natural.
It's a skittering skater.
Oh my god.
Lindworms suffer no penalties from difficult terrain on ice and are immune to the effects of the grease spell.
Did your brain also go immediately to figure skating?
Yeah, I was just saying that.
And lindworm wearing like a tasteful leotard.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, like, if you're looking at the art, like right by its upper arms, it's got some nice pecs.
It does, yeah.
It's kind of got some pecs there.
Lindworm is kind of cut.
It's kind of a cut buddy.
Oh man, yeah. Would I smash?
No.
Listen, you can't tell me what I can and can't smash.
But something tells me that you enjoy getting bit, and this thing is not great when it bites.
First of all, rude. Second of all, so what?
So what? Just because you're right doesn't mean I'm not insulted.
You'll have to call me out on mic.
You know, I'd like to think I know you, buddy.
You do.
I know. There's a snake belly. When lying with its sensitive stomach on the ice, a lindworm can sense approaching creatures by the vibrations they cause, granting them tremor sense.
But they do
only has tremor sense when it's got its belly down.
But they do feel a little chilly when that happens, because their tummy is sensitive.
It's just a little cold.
It takes a little bit of Pepto beforehand, because it's got a sensitive tummy.
But yeah, it does multi-attack, one bite, one claw, one constrict, so a lot happening.
Yeah.
Some fast buggers.
Say
yeah, plus seven
boogers?
To hit, they have a reach of 10 feet. Yeah, fast buggers. Like this
I thought you said boogers.
No, fast buggers. But it's got 10-foot reach, which is scary. It's just got long arms, got that I guess. Neck. It's got 2d8 plus 4 piercing damage. And they must make a DC 14 con save or contract lindworm fever.
Ooh, girl.
Got a fever.
Ow!
It's claws. It also reaches 10 feet, plus 7 to hit. 3d8 plus 4 slashing. Fuck.
Slash
and then it's got its constrict, plus 7 to hit, also 10-foot reach. 2d8 plus 4 bludgeoning damage, and the target is grappled. Escapes a DC 14 until the grappler ends. The target is restrained, and the lindworm can constrict only this target.
Dang. That's a recipe for disaster right there.
Yeah, that's a rough buddy right there.
Ooh, boy.
Bad pet.
Yeah.
Hands down, bad pet.
I mean, like, already there's a health risk.
Yeah, big time.
Like, these things can carry a, like are known carriers of a disease. Mm-hmm. So not something you want in your house. Or even just, like, in your community, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Komodo dragon.
Do Komodo dragons have like a?
Well, yeah, Komodo dragons, their bite. So it essentially acts like a venom, but really their mouth is just full of so much bacteria that when they bite you, it is near guaranteed that it'll get super infected,
yeah.
And so then it acts like a venom.
Jesus.
Interesting fact about Komodo dragons.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Learning.
I knew that, but I think I also learned that from Hank Green on Mantopolis. Yeah, I know that, but yeah, he brought that up. I was like, you're right, Hank Green. You're right.
What other, like, we talked about figure skating already.
Yeah.
What is the, is it just called speed skating? The, like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, they've got that, like, the long helmet on, yeah. And they're like, and, like, the blade on the skate's, like,
super long.
Yeah, speed skating. I want to see them, yeah, like downhill, like the downhill ski jump.
Mm.
You know, they got to have like the skis form. Tilted up.
Yeah.
And I've never watched the movie with, what's his name? He's Welsh. He's very handsome. He was Rocket Man. He was, something Edgerton.
Taron Egerton.
Yes, him and Hugh Jackman. They're in a movie about downhill ski jumping, and it looks. I think there's a bit where Hugh Jackman's just in like a flannel and jeans and like a tank top, and he's smoking a cigarette as he's going down. The thing's called Eddie the Eagle, I think is what it's called. But it's Hugh Jackman, and he's just skiing,
yes,
you know,
Eddie the Eagle.
In a flannel with a cigarette in his mouth. And it's just like, holy fucking shit, Hugh.
I'm looking at, like, promos for this. Yeah, it's super weird.
But yeah, I gotta watch it at some point. I never have. I see clips of it online all the time when I'm scrolling the tiki-talkies.
Yes.
But yes, a lindworm ski jumping would be hilarious.
And you could even add, I feel like there could be some, because yeah, there's obviously a lot of like shape that goes into that,
yeah.
into the like points awarded. But like in the lindworm category, it's like, how can you twist and contort your body into like,
yeah,
like,
I was gonna say,
can
it's
you
gonna,
spell
it's gonna
the
be
name
like
of
top...
the judges?
Yeah. Ooh. It's going to jump, and it's going to be, you know, since it's so like serpentine, like its body is going to be very like wiggly,
mm-hmm.
You know, but like, are the, do the fins down, like, you know, like the its back, like on the sides,
ooh.
Like do those help?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do those aid aerodynamics?
What can you,
does the tail, can they, yeah. Can they like redirect their motion a little?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's the perfect.
Can you
sort of
can you draw something in the air by tying a sparkler to the end of the tail, and writing something with some like long exposure photography?
Yeah, if they spin their tail really fast like a propeller,
ooh.
Does that get them more distance?
These are the kind of things we have to discover in lindworm high speed downhill ski jump.
Yeah, I'm in. Coming to the Olympics in 2025.
That's a quick. We got like year and a half to turn that around, Zach. God, to scout the talent and then the brand
deals. I believe in us.
Let's get marketing on it. Marketing. We have a project for you.
Get to it.
It's another stinker.
We never make stinkers.
Yeah, you're right. Everything we do is wonderful.
So yeah, Lindworm, bad pat, good ski jumper.
Amazing ski jumper.
But yeah, what was it? Lindworm, smooth as ice.
Smooth as ice. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Cobalt Press, for supplying the tagline for us for this one.
You guys are the real ones.
Incredible.
Last up today, we've got the Zanka, but with an X.
Zanka.
Zach, this looks like a little bit one of those Dwemer spiders you would find in every Dwemer ruin in Skyrim.
That would get on your fucking nerves because they would just come jumping at you, and then you'd be like, oh, that's my face.
It's got that golden mechanical, like, art deco sort of shape to it.
Yeah, with a lot of, like, filigree and stuff.
Uh-huh, a lot of vents, a lot of steam coming off this thing. This small metallic globe skitters about on many jointed legs. They're cleaning constructs, Zach.
Oh, it's just a Roomba.
It's a little fantasy Roomba. Created by, gnomish tinkerers. Zanka are constructs whose purpose is cleaning up their master's messy workshops. It's a Roomba. Most Zanka are built from copper, brass, or bronze, but gold, silver, and platinum varieties have been seen in the houses of nobles and rich merchants, the upscale Roombas.
Yeah, that's the it's like XL Anka.
Oh, Zach, that's good. God, yes. Zanka are not built for fighting. Their instinct tells them to skitter for cover when danger threatens, but they will defend themselves when cornered. They follow commands. These constructs only obey simple commands that relate to the removal of garbage. They communicate with each other, but how they do it is unknown. And they absorb matter. When a Zanka touches matter with its globular body, it absorbs that matter into itself and breaks it down into energy so that it can seek out more matter to absorb. Huh.
I could see that going like that. Isn't that the basis to what happened in Horizon Zero Dawn?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that going horribly wrong at some point.
To the point where it's like, yeah, we have to absorb all matter. All
get
it, matter.
Get in my belly.
All
let's go.
All matter.
No!
Shouldn't have made an XL version. Gnomes use them to keep the halls and streets clear of refuse. Zanka can absorb matter equaling half their body size every 6 seconds. But all of this absorbing and converting doesn't alter the Zanka's size. A Zanka does not require air, food, drink, or sleep, as it is a construct. It is small, unaligned, armor class of 15, 18 hit points, a 25-foot walk speed, and a 15-foot climb speed. Their stats are fairly middling. Their highest is a dexterity at 15, plus 2. They are immune to charm, exhaustion, frightened, paralyzed, and poisoned. They have blind sight out to 120 feet. And they understand the languages of their creators, but they cannot speak themselves. It has an ability here called Ingest Weapons.
That's horrifying.
When the Zanka is hit by a melee weapon, and the final adjusted attack roll is a 19 or less, the weapon gains a permanent -1 penalty to its damage rolls after inflicting damage for this attack. If the penalty reaches -5, the weapon is destroyed. Even magic weapons are subject to this effect.
Holy fuck.
The Zanka's weapons are considered magical.
Nice.
And its one attack action is called Absorb. It's a +4 to hit, 5-foot reach, deals 1d8 +2 force damage, and the Zanka regains hit points equal to the damage caused by this attack. In addition, if a living creature is hit by this wound, it must make a successful DC 12 dexterity save or suffer a gaping wound that causes 1d4 necrotic damage at the end of each of the creature's turns until the wound is treated with magical healing or a successful DC 10 intelligence medicine check.
Holy fuck.
If a creature who fails the saving throw is wearing armor or using a shield, the creature can choose to prevent the necrotic damage by permanently reducing the AC of its armor or shield by 1 instead. As it
puts a hole in your shield.
A hole or in you.
Yeah, just right through your tummy.
Oh my god, Zanka. Chill.
I'm just saying, Griff, you're running a D&D campaign. You can make a little gnome settlement where Zanka went horribly wrong.
Oh my god. Yes, but my girlfriend who listens to the show is in my D&D game.
Yeah. Hey, Ellie, don't be a narc.
I had the thought of, like, you know how many, like, cursed objects or artifacts are out there that are, like, can only be destroyed by through means of a wish spell?
Feed it to a Zanka.
Could a Zanka, it can absorb and cause damage to magic weapons. What happens when you give a Zanka Orb of Destruction?
It's going to want the rest of the world.
If you give a mouse a cookie situation.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, dude, these things are very scary.
They're very cool, very innocent on the surface, but then there's a lot of nefarious undertones to this little fantasy.
A lot of nefarious potential.
Yes.
I want to call it an undertow, but like.
A good amendment.
This thing is content to just be chill. It's the definition of fuck around and find out.
Yeah. Because you want to, like...
I could see the moment of, some drunk bastards, like, walking down the street. He's like, get the fuck out of my way, ping! Tinker toy. Yeah, kicks it, and it, you know, turns red, and then just, like, fucking starts at its feet, and then slowly, the guy's just like, what? Ah, no! And you see him go off
fully absorbed,
And he's just fully absorbed, and his buddy's like, Gerald, no!
And then the Zanka's little orb just... turns towards the friend.
Towards him. I'm at no home.
Spits Gerald back out, but took his shoes.
Nice.
Fuck. I mean, I think kind of the brutality of it too is that they are small. So, like, in reality, you know, it wouldn't eat the whole Gerald, but would just
it's biting him a piece at a time.
Yeah, it would just take like his like half a foot off.
Yeah, it's like getting piranha. I mean, it could do that every 6 seconds, so it would take a bit, but it could slowly... imagine a bunch of them, though, as they just piranha you.
Yeah. You could use Zanka for, like, hiding bodies.
Yeah.
Like, instead of feed him to the pigs, you feed him to the Zanka.
Yeah, feed him to the Zanka? Oh, no.
And the guy is just like, take out the trash. That's great, honestly.
Yeah, but then it gets a taste for humanoid flesh. And that's all it wants.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Fucking hell.
Zanka are fucking rad. Dude,
Zanka are sick. I like these things a
good
lot.
Good pet.
Watch
yourself. Okay, what's the good pet?
What Zanka, watch yourself.
Zanka, read the instruction manual, I beg of you.
Yeah, Zanka, don't be a dick.
Zanka, watch your toesies.
Zanka, for the love of God, don't void the warranty.
yes. I like Zanka a lot.
I like it too.
I might actually put these in my D&D game.
Do it. They're really cool.
They're really cool.
Like, even if they're just around, like, you don't need to make them nefarious and start eating people, but they're cool just to kind of be a thing.
Yeah. That's kind of the danger with these unaligned creatures, though, is like someone nefarious could just have a Zanka and use it for nefarious means, and the Zanka's just like, I'm just here.
I'm just doing my thing.
I like following orders. Chomp, 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 chomp.
Oh, boy. Alrighty. Well, is that an episode?
I think that's an episode, Zach Rob.
Oh, nice. Especially because I don't know if it's me that my internet's getting choppy or if it's you, but We got to take this bad boy
Let's take it in for a landing just in case something goes bad.
Folks, it's been a heck of a time
having you around. If you've enjoyed the show, we always love a little shout out here and there. Got to let the people know what you're listening to nowadays.
Of course. You know, we got our Patreon at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia. Mm-hmm. We got our what's what I'm looking for merch store at tpublic.com/ghostlight.
Shirts at tpublic are now available in tie-dye.
What?
Yeah, dude. Have you not seen this?
No.
Yeah, hold on.
I haven't.
Yeah, 2 seconds. I'll bank one up for you real quick. I gotta find a pet shop one.
Oh, I'm gonna have to get one.
Yeah, it's like a standard tie-dye pattern. Like, you can't like customize it, but it looks.
But like, you can change the colors?
You can't change the colors. It's like one tie-dye print.
Gotcha.
But it is cool. It is pretty like classically tie-dye.
Classically tied.
It's like the last color option if you go and click on it.
Okay, color options. Oh, I see. Yeah, that's like straight up Kristen Appleby's tie-dye right there.
So, you know, go get yourself a new tie-dye shirt.
I'm going to have to get me a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah. It's great. And if you like buy some merch, we'd love to see some pictures. You know, send it to us at Pet Shop Cast on Twitter, or like whatever social media haven we end up on. We're still working on it. And then if there's anything you want us to talk about on this show, let us know. DM us. Talk to us on our private Discord by subscribing to the Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
But aside from that, that's it.
That's it, everybody.
Folks, I've been Zach. Wait a minute.
You've been Zach, and I've been Griffin.
I was doing a...
And just remember, folks, at the end of the day...
I'm caught off guard. It's all about love, baby.
Yeah! You started
wait.
Just follow through.
No, stop the music.
Thank you all for listening to episode 118 of Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop. If you enjoyed the show, consider leaving us a review or telling a friend about us. You can find us as a part of the Ghostlight Media Network over at ghostlightmedia.net or on Twitter at PetShopCast. On our website, you can find links to our merch store and our Patreon page, which helps support all of the Ghostlight Media shows and all the amazing people who create them. Speaking of which, thank you to our patrons Carlin, Joel, and Carl for your continued support. We'd like to thank Nicole Tuttle-Robb for making our theme song. You can find Nicole on Twitter at NicoleVoice and on The Silent Secrets as part of Ghostlight Media. We'd like to thank our friend Rin for voicing the ads you hear on the show. You can find Rin on Twitter at Rin_Moran and on the Imprinted Echoes podcast as a part of Ghostlight Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode, but until then, may you always remember to treat your Zanka with respect or they will eat you.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.